Lesson is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. We will read from Psalm 139 responsively by verse. "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You rest upon me, and lay your hands on me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it.
I will thank you because of your marvelous deed. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well.
My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth." The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, 'The two shall be one flesh.' But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Please be seated at this time, the children's sermon. Wow, that's a lot of energy. Great. Okay, good morning. Excellent. You're full of energy today, aren't you? Good. Almighty God, guide us in this time together as we seek to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So can anything good come out of a paper bag? Interesting question, and I'm not asked just this old, can anything good? We'll go back to this in a minute, but that question was in this lesson. Philip had seen Jesus, and he brought Nathanael to meet Jesus, and Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Not a paper bag, but out of Nazareth. Now, just a little review, which is always good to know. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He then went to Egypt because they were refugees. He grew up in Nazareth and then died in Jerusalem. So his home is Nazareth. And he's saying, is there anything good in Nazareth? Which is kind of making a dismissal or a judgment about something you don't really know a whole lot about. Sometimes people do that. We remember Martin Luther King Jr. because people were doing that about people of different colors, dismissing them. And we are called as Christians to look and learn about each other and come to see God in each other and all people. Now, in this passage today, what happened, when Nathanael finally went and saw Jesus, he realized Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, and faith grew in Nathanael. And all he did, Philip said, come and see. Come and see who Jesus is. So, can anything good come out of a paper bag? How would we find out? Well, you've done one thing. You've come, and now you're going to see if anything good can come out of a paper bag. It's nothing alive. It's not alive in. It's not alive, but this is what's in the paper bag. Now, what do you think of those? You're good. This is something good, isn't it? I was going to use these last week. We weren't here because of the snow. You could each take two. Would you like that? Maybe if there's other people you want to share them with, you can do that. The candy cane's important. J for Jesus, the staff of the Good Shepherd. The red line reminds us of Jesus' blood shed. He's our Savior. The white line, Jesus is without sin, pure. And those three little stripes, red stripes, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a sermon in these candy canes. As you enjoy them, I don't know, should they get three? Two. Two's at what?
They should just have the bag.
Did you get two? What did you say?
Have the bag and share them.
Right. Why don't you? Here, you take it. You don't want another. Okay. But you take the bag and maybe you could share them with others. And if I hear everyone eating and opening during the sermon, that'll speed me up. Because you're hungry. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Thank you for checking out this bag. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and true to the Holy Gospel, that we indeed may listen and come and see, as Nathanael finally did. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So what do you know? Who do you know? And what is the source of your knowing? The word know is used 8 times in our lessons for today, and know is used in the prayer of the day and in our confession. So it's an important word, know. In Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me out and have known me. The psalmist says in verse 14 that she is marvelously made and God's works are wonderful. The Old Testament word to know comes from a Hebrew word, yada, and it has a wider meaning in Hebrew than in English. To know in Hebrew means a sense of perceiving, in a sense learning, but understanding. It also means to do and to experience, and to be willing to follow God. So to know, in the Old Testament says, is not to intellectually be informed about some principle or to know your history well, but to receive the experience of reality, what is real, what is happening, and to recognize the mystery of what is happening. To know in the biblical sense is to receive and practice and live by and in the truth. Knowledge, again, is not a possession of information, but rather faith in God and doing God's work, will, and truth. To know God is not an abstract, impersonal reality. To know God is to know God in a personal way, in God's saving acts for each of us and all people. Again, Psalm 139, God surrounds us. We are loved into being and sent out to love each other, all people, all creatures, and all creation. So from these lessons, we learn to know God. The opening words of today's first reading from 1 Samuel are very unsettling and challenging. You heard the words read, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." The word of the Lord was rare. The days we are reading about in this lesson are the days when Samuel was a boy, and Samuel was ministering in the temple under the guidance of Eli the priest and his sons. It is unsettling to consider a time when the word of the Lord was rare, or a time when visions were not widespread. In a time when visions are not widespread, where do the people find then a sense of meaning, purpose for their lives, and how will they know God? The sons of Eli the priest had moved away from God and were working in the temple, but they weren't working with the word of God. In chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, we hear about the sins and shortcomings of Eli's sons, and in this lesson today, it says they were blaspheming God. Their focus and attention was not only not on God, but they were speaking against God. It is my understanding of this passage that the rarity of the word of the Lord has more and had more to do with the people than with God. The people were not listening, the people were not paying attention, the people were not using or hearing the word of God as a way of living more fully. Yes, the word of God has always been given, but it is rare when people do not hear, do not listen, do not care to take God's word into their hearts. They did not allow the word of God to inform and guide their lives. We are called to hear God talking, speaking, calling. In this Old Testament lesson, Samuel and Eli do listen and respond to God. For Samuel, God offers a call to service. They are listening together. And in a sense, Eli is a very faithful servant of God in this passage, because the call of God to Samuel means the end of Eli's service as priest in the temple, and also the end of his son's work in the temple. A big life change is coming for Eli. He's going out. Instead of trying to lead Samuel away from God, instead of trying to block and redirect God's call, instead of ignoring the call and judgment against him, Eli is faithful and obedient, and Eli listened and heard God, and the message was difficult, but he directed Samuel to listen. Samuel heard the message, and you heard that Samuel told Eli what God was saying and calling them to do and be. In the gospel lesson, John and Philip, they are listening to Jesus' call to follow him. Philip finds Nathanael and tells him about Jesus. At first, Nathanael dismisses this. We talked about it in the children's sermon. Jesus comes from Nazareth, not a really important place. So he says, what good can come from Nazareth? Kind of an example of prejudging, demeaning, and hurtful words. But this is the underlying theme. You can turn away from Jesus, but he will keep calling you again and again. Jesus calls, Philip says, come and see, and Nathanael meets God. In the face of Nathanael's not listening, this call continues to come. Jesus continues to call. It is in following and coming and seeing that you and I, when we are called, meet and are formed to know God for good and for the good of the world. We are called to make sure that God's word is not rare today. And that happens when people aren't listening. The word becomes rare. On January 15th, the church commemorates and remembers the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., as an American prophet of justice among races and nations. As a follower of Jesus, his faith guided his advocacy of nonviolent action for racial equality. Pastor of churches in Montgomery, Alabama, and in Atlanta, Georgia, his witness was taken into the streets of Birmingham, protesting against segregation. He preached nonviolence. He called people to return love for hate. He listened to God, and when he spoke, the word of God was present. For any pastor in any pulpit, on any sermon, on any day of the week, the pastor will necessarily have first listened to the word of God, that it may touch her or him, so that that word will be present in what is spoken by the mystery of the Holy Spirit. This commemoration of Martin Luther King comes on his birthday, and of course our nation honors Dr. King also. On the liturgical calendar, Martin Luther King is called a renewer of society and martyr. Martyr because he died for his faith in Jesus. Renewer of society for his work of nonviolence and peace and respect for all people. A renewer of society is one whose faith guides them to make the world and the life better for others. You don't need to be a president, you don't need to be a senator, a representative, a lawyer, or somebody with money or power to make lives better. It's in your hands and in your hearts. We can renew society and people's lives in humble, small ways, one person, one moment, one individual at a time, by caring, loving, sacrificing for others like you do in the shepherd's closet with food and clothing. We are, for the sake of God's grace poured upon us, and as we know God, we are renewers of society who are listening to God. In knowing God, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. said these words, and I quote, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why justice and the right, temporarily defeated, are stronger than evil triumphant. End of quote. Unarmed truth, unconditional love, is what you and I bring to the world. With Samuel, Eli, Philip, Nathanael, and Martin Luther King Jr., we know that we are called to renew society so that in the days, these days, the word of the Lord is not rare but is heard. And visions of justice and peace are seen and will be widespread and embodied by people for all people. What do we know? What is the source of our knowing? Who do we know? We know the source of our being is Almighty God, our Creator, the Creator of all people and all around us. We know Jesus and his life-saving death and resurrection, birth, life, death, and resurrection, makes him the Savior of the whole world and a gift to all people. And who we know is Almighty God, the Holy Spirit within, around, beside, stirring, calling, and sending us out with unarmed truth and unconditional love. Dear siblings in Christ, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.